We were talking very seriously about qualifications earlier, about Selo Makekangube, who got a doctorate from somewhere. Turns out it was a bogus college. But then, aren't these dime a dozen? They also spring up everywhere. We had a big discussion about what the actual value of a degree is. We didn't come to any real resolution, but that's not our job. That's yours. And I'm not a higher education institution, so... Right? I mean, there is one comment here. Wayne does say, I'd prefer my doctor to be legally qualified.
Yeah, or my pilot. Or
and the civil engineer that's making the stress. Yes, absolutely. There's some degrees, the practical ones in particular, that you don't want to take chances with.
But then at the end of the day, you're picking your doctor and like your pilot and all of that just based off a... They got the degree. I mean, your doctor could have got 50% where my doctor could have got 100, and we would never know.
Yeah.
But you don't pass, you don't become a doctor with
50%. Although if someone says to you like,
true, but you can if you just pass.
If someone said to you, listen, don't go to that doctor, they really are a butcher.
I was top 5 students in journalism.
Look at you just talking about yourself and all your qualifications this morning.
But this really? I'm highlighting how underqualified I am.
You're angling for an honorary doctorate. That's what you are.
And I was top 10 students.
We're about to give it to you.
Top 10 students in communications. Are you telling me that I then became one of the top 5 journalists in South Africa?
No,
I didn't.
Definitely not.
So people are seeing these amazing results, and I'm top this and I'm top that. It doesn't translate to anything. You may be a 100% doctor on paper, but the 60% doctor might be a brilliant researcher. He might be, you know, have better connections and know about more things and more discoveries and
science. He might be doing stuff on the edge that you know, the others are not doing because they're much more in the center.
Like a neurologist or a neurosurgeon. Yeah. They actually need to be a little bit edgy and a bit on the edge.
It's funny that we're even talking about this because everything's linked. And my my friend from Dallas, who's coming to visit me this week, he's the smartest guy I know. Like in my own circle, you know.
Yeah.
We all know someone really, really smart, but they're a professor of something at some university or whatever. He's the cleverest guy I know, and we, in varsity, we both went off to the Human Sciences Research Council in Pretoria because this is how nerdy we were.
Mm.
And for fun, we did an IQ test.
Okay.
Mm.
And he came out with such an extraordinary high IQ, which I always knew he was smart.
Mm.
And we kind of wanted to just put it to bed and find out what our IQs were. And he came out with such a high IQ score that they immediately said to him, where are you working? Where do you want to work? What do you want to do? Can we tell the government about you? And he was like, no. I just wanted this test. I'm only interested in doing it. He's really clever.
Is the test standardized worldwide, just by the way?
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of standard IQ tests that they use all over the world, but they also have variations in those.
Just like the Mensa one.
Yeah, the Mensa one is quite well known, and you can get into that quite easily. I mean, remember, Damon, my former producer,
yes,
and I went and did a test. Mensa invited us
to
become members, but we had to pass the test first. So you go and sit in a hall, like a school exam. And there were about, I don't know, 10 people who wanted to really get into Mensa, right? And we all sat down and we did the test. And it's basically pattern recognition.
Mm.
It's testing how quickly your brain can, figure out, like, in a sequence of numbers, 3, 6, 9, 12, what's next?
Mm.
And then you're 18.
28. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
And then, they either put you in or they don't. So I got in and Damon didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of knew already what my IQ had been from this test that I did with this friend of mine, Charles. And he's coming back to South Africa this weekend. And entirely coincidentally, we've been talking to one of the cleverest people in the whole world. Objectively, one of the cleverest people in the whole world. He's heading back from the island of St. Helena on a trip with his wife. And we are going to be spending a bit of time with him. His name is Eric Weinstein, right? He's a really, really smart guy. So he's a podcaster, but his real background is mathematics and physics.
That's a different kind of clever.
Oh, yeah. So he's super, super smart. And he's one of the people who they mentioned in the intellectual dark web, which has got quite a lot of noise lately. Anyway, Eric is just, He's so clever, and I've met him once before in November last year. He was in South Africa for like 24 hours, and I got to spend a couple of hours with him.
I remember.
He's so clever that you kind of feel like you need to get your shit together before you talk to him. You know, like if I sit down and talk to you guys and I talk to my family and my friends, I feel totally relaxed. I don't have to like aim it up or aim it down. I'm just like being me.
Mm.
It's very easy. You could talk about the things that interest you like we do on the show every morning. With a guy like this, I'm like, oh, I better check out, like rehash and refresh my string theory knowledge.
Is it?
And I don't have much string theory knowledge. I assure you when I go home, I don't have like books and books on string theory, right? And I didn't study this.
I mean, I know what they taught me on Big Bang Theory. That was it.
But he's made me a bit nervous, and I don't normally get nervous. Not that I think he's going to be intimidating or horrible, but I want to be able to have meaningful conversations with the guy and not just do the same old, because otherwise he's going to leave here bored.
Do you worry
about
being
a good host?
Do you worry about what he would think of you?
Wouldn't it be
No, because I probably won't see him again in my life. I mean, maybe I will. Maybe we'll be in contact. But probably I won't. The thing I'm going to do is put my friend Charles and him at the same dinner table. And I'm just going to watch.
Yes.
And then maybe they'll solve all the world's problems in one evening. Or maybe they'll just never talk again and they'll also just find each other quite boring. Who knows?
So you're really going to put them together?
I'm doing this, yeah.
That
I'm
is actually, so fun.
And the, you know, the universe is aligned in whichever way to bring these two people, who I regard very highly, into one place at one time. And if I can just bear witness to this, I mean, I just want to like put my phone on record and just put it in front of them and just see what happens.
Yeah.
But there's so much. It feels like there are too many modules to cover, right? It feels like you need to kind of...
modules.
You need to have a bit of a plan on what they should speak about.
Yeah, you need to start the topic, and it needs to be stimulating to both people.
We know, because we often host really
Elon
brilliant
Musk
people.
Last week,
Elon
Kennedy
Musk.
Next week.
Yeah, I would love to know. I mean, if anybody has any ideas of what kind of stuff we should bring up. Whoa. And what I should talk to him about, I really am. I'm open to suggestions. I don't know better than you about what to talk to someone like Eric Weinstein about. But if you have any ideas, let me know. And yes, I am aware that our app is giving us some trouble this morning. There was bound to be something that was going to kick back this morning. So I did see a comment or two about the app not necessarily doing its job. But trust me, we're going to iron out all of this very, very soon. K&A says, I will laugh if Gareth Cliffe's two smart friends only end up discussing Taylor Swift's new album.
Yeah.
Which is the most...
the most talked about thing in the world right now.
And biggest on Spotify ever.
Like negative reviews or positive?
Positive.
Oh, people loving it.
Yeah.
Because I saw someone superimpose her taking out a trash can this morning saying...
Really?
Looking after her album or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Swiftie by any means. I don't even know what her top songs are. And I heard a snippet of one of them and I wasn't excited.
Well, I think I'll listen to it this week. I dig Taylor Swift. She's phenomenal. Like, think of what she's achieved.
Ways?
She deserves an honorary degree.
Suddenly I feel like Eric Weinstein in this conversation. I'm like, not interested. Oh my God, I don't know. No, there is nothing in the world that would make me go into more of a conversation than I haven't this morning with you two on Taylor Swift. I've tried this. I have nothing to say. I don't think she's the most dangerous person in the world. I don't think she's offensive.
She's very dangerous. Think of her influence on the younger generation.
She's dangerous though, Flex.
Yes.
You think she could like cause trouble?
Put it this way. If she said everyone meet up at this location at this time, half of the population would be there for no reason. But because Taylor Swift said so.
Well, it would be a great time to wipe them all out. Because if you're dumb enough to just go somewhere because a pop star tells you to, I don't really want to know much more about you. I've heard all I need to know. All right, well, we'll see. Who is the Swift chick, says Steve. Quite right. Good question. Ask Eric about his Epstein experience. Okay, so yeah.
What?
Eric Weinstein has met Jeffrey Epstein.
like in the good old days?
He didn't go to the island.
Okay.
Okay, but he had a meeting with
about
him.
The townhouse.
Epstein wanted to meet him.
Okay.
Because, you know, he likes meeting these smart people.
He likes surrounding himself.
Remember, he had invited Stephen Hawking, who can't fucking walk.
Mm-hmm.
He invited him to the island, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll ask him about that. That's a very good question.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. Apparently, have you heard the little girl singing Taylor's lyrics in the shops?
No.
Is that what's happening?
No. I heard the radio in Spa yesterday.
Is
that's
that,
how I heard
heard
about TikTok.
You heard a lot on the radio in Spa yesterday.
That great radio.
How long
were
you in
buying
Spa?
Toothpaste for?
Oh, guys, I was doing Paysuck shopping. Eh? You got to compare prices.
All right. Well, we'll see. All right. So there are a couple of other things that we need to get to this morning. Chief among them, ketamine is destroying young people's bladders. Now, okay, ketamine is a drug which they use, they'll use it as a therapy drug.
Yeah.
But it also is used, obviously, recreationally by some people.
That's it.
Very dangerous. It's like a horse tranquilizer, as I understand. It's not a play drug.
Look, but like you say, it can be a party drug. So I suppose it depends on.
I mean, there are clinics. There are clinics in South Africa that you can go for ketamine treatment,
and
they
100%.
They help people with PTSD,
severe depression.
They help people to clear their mind if they feel like they're a bit stuck.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of reasons to do it, but that's under,
intense medical supervision.
Doctors are around. They monitor your blood pressure. They make sure that don't do too much, don't do too little. It's just the right thing. You need a dosage and all that kind of thing. But you're telling me that young people are developing other problems as a result. There's so much ketamine out there that they're developing other problems?
Yeah, hugely. So, yes, correctly, a lot of people use it for, severe depression. Elon Musk has admitted to using ketamine.
Yeah.
He admits to using it quite a lot. But he has other issues as well, which he's being medicated for. But apparently what's happening is it's giving younger people who are using it as a recreational drug mostly bladder issues, huge bladder issues, including incontinence, frequent need to urinate. Some people can't go as long as 30 minutes without needing to go to the loo, and these are 20-year-olds.
Rochelle says, by the way, half the people I know were spiked with it. In 2022 in Edinburgh, including me, it was bad here for a while.
What?
It's like everywhere by the sound of things. This does not sound good.
What does it do to you, though, like if you're using it as a drug?
Okay, so...
it's the one that I haven't tried, so I don't know.
Is it like ecstasy or...
So you go on a trip, but if you've got, I suppose this is true for any drug. If you've got severe trauma and, a very complicated past, and you've got abuse, and you've got, really horrible things that happened to you, or you're dealing with something very horrible right now, and you go into any drug experience, it's going to amplify that stuff. So it's going to make it a lot more real, a lot more terrifying.
Bubble to the surface.
Correct. And it won't necessarily be bad in the long run, because maybe you have to deal with it. But under zero supervision and without talking to someone, it can be a very terrifying experience for some people. Not necessarily good in any way, right? And in fact, I think most responsible psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, everybody who has any kind of interest in your mental and spiritual well-being will probably dissuade you from doing any of these things if you're not 100%
stable. It's a last resort for if... hectic depression medication is not working. That's when they'll look at ketamine. But if you think about it, it'll take you from being severely traumatized and severely depressed to somewhat normal. So imagine if someone somewhat normal taking it.
It could do.
It's
but
taking
it,
you to the next
but
level
ketamine,
of harm.
Ketamine is also a hallucinogen. So you'll end up having a major trip.
Oh, hectic.
And you'll see lots of colors, and you'll hear voices, and you'll feel like you're floating in space, and you'll jump into the void, and then you'll spin, and all kinds of weird stuff will happen. This is what all these psychotropic
how do they take it?
Hallucinations do. I think it's an injection.
All
I'm not entirely sure. I suppose that's how they would do it in the clinics, where it's operating
like a drip
legally.
Something.
But I don't know how people take it recreationally. I'm not experienced in that respect, I'm afraid.
I'd love to tell you,
but I mean, I've done other stuff, but not that.
So yes, there's something called ketamine bladder syndrome or ketamine-induced cystitis.
But they just piss wildly.
What's happening is it's damaging. Ketamine damages the lining of the bladder. It actually thins it out completely.
Ooh.
Yeah. Leading to, you have to be hospitalized for this sort of thing. So in one hospital alone in the UK, there are about 30 young people in their 20s. Sorry, 60 of them, ketamine patients with bladder issues being treated in just one hospital at the moment. Destroys the lining of the bladder. And the use of ketamine, interestingly enough, in the UK alone has more than doubled from 7 years ago. So it really is a big thing. And in a lot of these cases, these patients require reconstructive surgery to their bladders, to their bladders.
Can you put a fake bladder in?
Yeah. Bladder's a very easy organ.
No, it's a bag that you'll have on the outside.
Oh, no, yes. But they've done, bladder transplants and so on. It's not a complicated organ.
I'm not sure about that. I know I have a family member whose bladder was removed and they had a bag.
What is that bag called? There's a special name. I heard
it's not a colostomy. Colostomy bag is for your asshole.
Yeah, it's not. I can't remember.
It's a replacement for the ileum, duodenum, and what other parts of those are the small intestine, the large intestine.
And interestingly enough, the stoma, which is the opening for that bag, is made with. If you still have your appendix, they use your appendix to make it. Human element to make something like that out of.
You never go to the bathroom if you have that, right? That is your
body. You do have to go to the bathroom. It's about the same size as a bladder. You have to empty it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Revolting.
I mean, it's really one of the most unglamoristic parts of this ketamine thing.
Well, okay, so here we go. Listen to this quickly. So some people are saying a proper ketamine high is really, really scary. That's what Amin says.
Okay.
Joking atheist says it sounds, from what you've described with all the trauma and PTSD and everything, like every South African needs to be on ketamine. Pissing like a horse is a good sign for horse medicine. Listen to Professor Scott Galloway's recent experience with K-therapy. Did Elon Musk say he used it? Yes, we've covered that. You can sniff it or take it orally, says Hadmi.
Okay.
You just evaporate the liquid ampules. You're left with a powder, and that goes up your nose. So here we are, our very experienced drug-addled listener
community.
Audience. Yeah, these are the people, obviously, who would help us to figure out all of this stuff. And now you have expert advice from these dangerous people. Excellent.
Slippery pickle.
Yeah. Seems like the audio is much lower than usual. Do I have an ear infection? No color. We're busy sorting everything out. We're rebalancing the humors. You're actually on a ketamine trip. None of this is really happening.
The chakras are in motion.
Yeah. None of this is really happening. Jade says, ketamine has medical properties if used correctly. Problem is, too many highly valuable medicines are made illegal because of a bunch of people who don't know how to control themselves. Yeah, but that's true for everything. Look at all the antidepressants. You know, there are people on everything. Antihistamines, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, there's my anti-asthma drug. It caused my hip bones to crumble that I had to have one replaced.
All the side effects of all the various medications you're on, it's a miracle that you were able to make it this morning.
It's not a lot. I mean,
here we go. Wait, here we are.
For instance, this is today's lot.
It's only that?
It's only this, for instance.
There she is, emptying out all of her drugs.
That's all.
There we go.
That's once a day.
What are those? Do you know what they all are?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay.
This is for ADHD.
Okay. What's it called? Do you know?
Atentra.
Okay.
It's a very high milligram dosage.
Okay. So you have terrible ADHD.
Yes. Okay. This is for...
I should probably be on that.
This is called Altosec, which also can cause your hips to crumble, funnily enough.
Does that alter your sex?
No.
What does it do?
Well, it might have.
So you'll never get this on any other show. Here's someone explaining all their drugs. Go on.
This is for GERD, reflux.
For GERD?
Yes.
What is GERD?
Gastro enterostomal sapido.
So what you get, you puke up...
No, it's for heartburn, basically, like really bad heartburn.
Yeah, your stomach is producing acid and you don't have the sphincter at the top of the...
That would be Barrett's syndrome, which is very popular in people with Scottish heritage, which I am. Oh. But I was tested for that.
It's popular, it's is that. It? It's popular? It's
you have to have it. You have to have
it. Oh, you know, I went down to the pub the other day and Morag told me she had a terrible hankering for some GERD. Very excited about the problems in her lower esophagus. And near the top of her stomach, she loves a little heartburn.
You see, you need...
Reminds her of what it's like to be human. Oh, I just love it. It's like hearing the bagpipes first thing in the morning. I love a bit of heartburn.
You need that hectic acid to deal with haggis.
Oh, flare of skull. Oh, God, it's horrible. It burns. Oh, but it reminds me of Bannockburn. That great Scottish battle where we defeated the English. Oh, I do love a burn. And a burn is a river in Scottish as well. You know
and
that.
A poet.
And Robert Burns.
Burns.
Quite right. Burns Night. We celebrate Burns Night with haggis and whiskey.
For which you need a lot of gastrointestinal gases.
That was a lot of Scottish references for 5 minutes of the show. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Weed is a gateway drug, a gateway to the fridge, says Slippery Pickle. But what else have you got there? Shut up, Slippery Pickle. We're busy with a... we're busy being taken through someone's whole life in chemicals.
Euthyrox, which is for an underperforming thyrox, hypothyroid.
Thyrox, you mean thyroid.
Hypothyroidism.
My thyroid. Oh, my thyrox is just underperforming. That's why I can't win at work today. It's that underperforming thyrox.
We've got Bilacol for...
Bilacol. Wow.
For...
You're a disaster, you know
High
that.
Blood pressure.
Okay.
And then a good double dose of anti-anxiety.
Sure. And those don't contraindicate?
No, not at all. So basically, when you are treated by...
I hate to be your doctor. Can you imagine all the insurance claims that...
It's actually not that bad. The medical aides like me. They
do?
I've just had to change over to a different medical aid. They've welcomed me back with open arms. No problems there.
And so they cover all that medication?
Mostly, yes. You know, you've got your savings gap, and so things fall apart in about July, August.
I've never understood that savings. It's like you have the savings, which gets depleted in a day, and then you're in the self-payment gap, but you never get out of the self-payment gap.
Guys,
you're always just paying.
You just put 3/4 of the people who are listening to us asleep. Do Leanne's pills smell like money from being in her purse the whole time?
Well, I don't have money in my purse, so no.
So I take a couple of supplements, but I really hate taking pills. Do you take them all at once or two at a time? Or
No, just
put them all in the hand and,
and
like hit them back with your glass of water?
Yeah, I do. Hmm. Sometimes I have a bit of a gag reflex going on.
Yeah, I don't like
that.
It always happens with me with pills. I'm not good at taking them.
Some people can't do pills full stop. Yeah. They have to crush it or something strange.
I have a friend who just takes them and quickly eats them.
I can't.
Eats them?
Yeah, just go.
Chews them. Actually chews them. They're not chewable pills, but they chew them.
It's the only way they can get them down.
You have people that will put the pill in their mouth first and like leave it on their tongue and then do the water. I can't do that. I have to do water, then pill, then another gash of water down.
I think we have the same problem then, because I'm not good at taking these pills.
And the worst is if the water goes past and the pill gets stuck on your tongue and then you're left with this dry pill on your tongue with
bitter
no water.
Taste.
Garrett sounds exactly like Billy Connolly. Well, he's my only reference for Glaswegian, I'm afraid. But, oh my God, that Scottish stuff, that makes me so happy.
Oh, yes.
That you said it was popular in Scotland and for people with Scottish heritage. That's the win.
You've got to get the Barretts.
Well, someone explained what GERD is in the comments. They said that GERD stands for, what is it?
Gastroesophageal
reflux syndrome. Thank you very much. There we are.
Yeah.
All right. No glass of gin for you, Leanne. You know what? I was going to bring in this morning. I think it might have been a little preemptive, but I was going to bring in a bottle of champagne. And then I thought, no, but we haven't proven that we can do the show in the new studio yet. So I'm going to celebrate unless
maybe,
we know.
Maybe after week one or something.
I think at the end of week one, we could possibly celebrate. All right. So Flax, married life going very well.
Very well.
You know, James asked you stupidly, what's it like to be married earlier? But I mean, that's so puerile because you've only been married for a short while, but you guys have been together for a long time already.
It's like interesting when you're dating, there's like a certain level of growth you have personally.
Yeah.
So like when we were engaged, it was still, the focus was on like work and growing as a couple, etc., to get married. But as soon as you get married, it's like these other levels unlock in life that you never had before. So now you start thinking about kids and how am I going to keep the house, etc.
So you plan everything. We know this about Michael Flex. Yeah, I love to plan. I mean, he decided like, I'm going to get married by this age. I'm going to do this. So you brought up kids, so I don't have to feel bad about bringing it up. Have you got a plan of action here?
Yeah, kids are very important. Even before we got married, we discussed how many kids we wanted. To both of us, it was very important to align on what you want in life. And the second we realized we wanted both the same things in life, and this was like at our very first few like dates we went on.
See, Flax's dates are like board meetings where they decide on an agenda and then they plan out their mission, how they're going to get there, and these are the routes that we'll take to market. And then
it's like that show, Jewish Matchmaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I appreciate this. I think this is so important, and I'm not being silly. I think people need clarity in life. If you know what you're in for, whether you're in a business relationship, in a friendship, in a romantic relationship, or in a marriage, you gotta know what you're in for, and then people can't get confused and unhappy with each other because you're speaking honestly about what the goals are for the future.
Expectations.
So how many Flaxes are we looking at having here? How many Flax children?
I want a big family. So
you want a lot?
Yeah, anywhere from like 3 to 4 max.
Wow.
Okay, more than 4, I think, is a lot to handle.
You're gonna have to make a lot of money all of them need to go to school. You can't leave one out of school. I've seen that happen. It's very, very bad. The one kid stays at home.
Gets picked on.
washes the pots and pans, and the other three go to school.
The kids are very expensive. Very expensive
as hell. Okay.
That's the thing, okay? I really don't mean to crush young dreams, or maybe I do. But I see a lot of this because I watch a lot of dating shows or Married at First Sight or whatever.
Yeah, those are great examples of like the most dysfunctional marriages in the world.
No, it's just so weird how young people will decide before the time even comes how many children they want. What if you can't have children? What if one of you can't? What if you have one child and there is a problem and they're going to need specific care for the rest of their lives and you need to stop at one? So, yeah, and then you get people who say, I want 2 boys and 2 girls. You can't decide that stuff unless you've got lots of money. But it's good to see the motivation, I suppose.
So Joking Atheist says, and clearly, joking atheists either had a horrific marriage themselves or they're just quoting statistics here. 48% of all marriages end in divorce. The rest end in death.
All marriages end in death, let's be honest.
So very optimistic take on things from Joking Atheist. I just think you got to go in also with a positive outlook. Right? I mean, you don't know. You go in going, I like Flax's optimism. I'm going to have 3-4 kids. I think that's great. You got names figured out already?
No, no.
Okay, you're not planning that much.
I think we're talking like utopia, best case scenario. Mm. But of course, life happens along the way.
No, but I'm just trying to figure out how far the planning goes. Have you written down like 10 girls' names and 10 boys' names that you would like to go
with? No, not that far. Okay. Right. I think we still have to go on honeymoon and do those sort of things. But it's more like when you think about what you want for your next like 5-10 years, kids are definitely like in my picture.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, some couples will argue about like where to put the fridge in the kitchen, but they won't decide the important stuff. Like, do we want kids? How many do we want?
What religion do we want them to be brought up with any
of? These are
all
important. Like, what are your values? Don't get too heavy about this, but I do think it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You get to make these decisions together. Dr. Robin says, I'm voting for a single child family. That's a funny thing too. A friend of mine is an only child. And she's often told me, like, she really wishes her parents had had another kid.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then you get the opposite. You get the people who are thrilled that they were the only child because they wouldn't want to have shared mom and dad's attention or all the things that they had in their life with anyone else. It totally depends on your point of view.
I kind of had the best of both worlds because I was the only child for 6 years with no cousins or anything.
Right, and then your brother came along, ruined
that. Well, cousins first and then brother. But I don't think I've ever met somebody who said, I loved being a single child.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've always met people who've said, who are single children, saying, I always wished I had siblings.
What do you think?
I'm also, like, the second you said I haven't met someone who's like, I'm happy I was a single child, I also haven't. Mm. I think it's nice to have a friend, like, growing up. I think it's important for kids because you learn those things like sharing, and you'll learn from your older sibling or younger sibling, etc.
Mm. So Azalea's just come in with something amazing about marriage. She says, actually, statistically, and I will have to fact check her on this, but Azalea doesn't lie. She says statistically divorce rates are down. However, lesbian couples get divorced at a higher rate than any other kind of couple, which means women are the problem. This comes from a woman. So I'm just saying that could be true. And if it is, many men will use it over and over again.
I thought divorce rates were up because of COVID. So maybe they have gone down.
Yeah.
Because you were stuck in the house with, like, your partner, and you just things bubbled to the surface.
That's now ancient history, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And we really have moved on. And I hope we have. I don't want to ever be too... In fact, I think I'm going to try really hard to not mention COVID ever again. Just because I think it's probably a good idea.
Mm.
For all of us, mentally and psychologically.
We're going to be asked by it, by the next generation, about it.
Yeah, but then write it all down and never say it again.
Yeah.
Mapelo says, I wish I had fewer siblings. Five is too much. Ooh. I also had, I wish I had at least one female sibling. So it's five brothers.
Six boys.
That's a big family.
Six boys, yeah.
Maybe six.
Amazing. Maybe. Congrats, Flax, says Cook.
Thank you. How exciting.
Also important to discuss with your partner how you want to parent those kids. You might have very different methods.
True. I think I would be more of the strict parent.
You reckon?
I think so.
You'd be bad cop.
Yeah, I think I'd be bad cop. I think definitely a good cop, bad cop situation will go out, but I think I'd be bad cop. I don't know. Like, the generation today, I'd find hard to, like, resonate with and understand. Like, I went into a club once. This was, like, 2 years ago, maybe. Was in Cape Town. I walked into this club a lot younger. I didn't know a single word of the music they listened to. They listened to this mumble rap, which makes no sense. And then they've got these weird dance moves that it's not like your same two-step.
Flax, I used to say that about you like 8 years ago, so just be careful. At 7 o'clock, I woke up to the fourth evolution of the Gareth Cliff Show, says Zach. Look and feel since we started with WeChat. Are you keeping this? G feels too square for me. And congratulations to Flax.
Thank you.
Listen, Zach, we're figuring out a lot here. So today's like a bit of a dry run.
Mm.
Of a bunch of things.
We brought the KY jelly for this one.
Yeah. We had no idea what would fit and what wouldn't, right? All right, so something else that I wanted to get to this morning, it's actually something Leanne is going to tell us about. Apparently some money-saving life hacks, because God knows things are hugely expensive. Apparently Yes. petrol's going up again.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, what do we got?
Wait, when's it going up?
I don't know. They bring it every second week. Are you kidding?
It's always going up.
And then if it isn't that, it's everything else. Interest rates and, you know, people are struggling. Yeah. Yes. It's tough out there. Yeah. What do we got in terms of... So, we're always up for money-saving tips. Let's go.
There are a lot that I've tried before. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But I'll be interested to know whether you guys know about these things. So firstly, especially with online buying, it's so tempting. The 72-hour rule.
Oh.
72-hour rule means that if you want something, you wait for 72 hours before you buy it. And if you still want it after those 72 hours.
True.
Because sometimes it's a new sparkly thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you get over it, right?
I do just that with, have you ordered Temu yet or Temu? Temu.
No, those ads are all over the place,
good
right?
Good Lord, they force you to buy. I'm on my second
but
order.
But some of that stuff looks so cool. Have you had delivery?
So I did an order. It wasn't like a big value, and I bought like a whole bunch of ornaments. It was the greatest experience of my life because one that was like cheap things. I forgot I had ordered it.
The greatest experience of your life.
Because it arrived.
Ever.
And it was like an adult lucky
newly
packet.
Newly married.
I forgot everything that I ordered and nothing was to size. What I thought was like a ruler was like an inch. And like nothing was ornaments. They were basically just little figurines basically. But I didn't know what to expect. It was so
Hang
much
on.
Fun.
Did you order drunk?
No.
Like... Did they just send you random stuff?
I think either I got the measurements wrong or they got the measurements wrong, but one of us was confused.
I saw someone got an air fryer in South Africa. Yeah.
Yes. It was basically...
It was like this size. Well, if you can see that, but it was like
maybe tiny little Temu pot. Is run by dwarves. Maybe it's a dwarf thing and the, everything is scaled down. But sounds like it.
Like, I didn't expect to receive my order. The fact that I just received the order, I was happy about. It came like in a week
but
and a half.
But they screwed it up completely.
I don't know who messed up. I don't know if it was me or them.
Well, I would be interested in your second order and whether it's actually the stuff you ordered.
Yeah.
Because I'm always very suspicious about online ordering. Mostly because when I used to do it, when I started doing it with like eBay, I would actually bid on stuff that I collect on eBay. And there was about an 80% chance in those days of it arriving via the post office, which used to work. Now, of course, you couldn't trust that.
No.
And then they attach, you know, customs duties and courier. Now suddenly you're not just paying the price that it says there. You're paying like twice, three times the price by the time you get it all right. I'm nervous now. I never used to be. I still will use local retailers for online buying.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not international.
No, and I know Amazon are busy setting up. I must tell you, I've only seen bad things happen with Temu. So,
really?
Especially with the deliveries and that sort of thing. Right. So who knows?
Temu's legit, guys, says Gavin. Okay. Big here in New Zealand and Australia.
Listen, if someone asked me should I order Temu or not, I'd say order. Like, my stuff arrived. Sure, it wasn't to size, but nothing's to size anymore.
By the way, what are you ordering a ruler for?
No,
it's saying, like, looked like a ruler on the website.
He's saying the difference between 1 centimeter and what to him looked like 30 centimeters, but it had arrived at a scale of 1.
No, I think it would complete my shelf, and now it's like,
I think this is
so small.
I think this is definitely a flex.
They were actually
problem.
For like printer's trays.
Yeah, like things I thought were metal were plastic.
That's why I'm telling you, dwarves.
I think if you do your research and you read the comments, you find
Oompa Loompas. Little people are busy working in that factory, and they don't get the sizes right because they don't know. Everything's too big.
Oh, it's much too big. But they've
completely flooded the market. Like, every ad you see on every social network's TV.
Well, it's also because you shopped with them, so now they're after you.
What is the stupidest thing you've bought online recently? That pill box that you just brought out.
That's ancient. I've had that since high school. I've never had an order go wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
You're very suspicious for someone who's never had an order go wrong.
I ordered once something. I ordered one of the first robotic vacuum cleaners.
Oh, sick.
It was actually a prototype.
Yeah.
And you weren't allowed to get your money back because it was literally one of 20 that they had bunged together in a workshop. It was like, it was one of the trial things. I still got it here and I had to change the plugs because they were international.
Yeah.
It worked like a charm, and I've still got it, actually.
And it still works?
Still works, yeah.
Wow.
What were they called? Roomba. It was one of the first Roombas.
Oh.
But you had to sign something saying, I know this might not work, because it was literally an experiment.
You were an early influencer.
Yes, I still found a video on YouTube that I made of it.
You still use it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it goes around your house?
Yeah.
Paid for thing.
No, it wasn't paid for. I was just fascinated having 15 cats that I had at the time.
Oh.
So I got one, but no, that's the only kind of weird thing.
Okay.
All the rest has been legit and good.
Still a nice story about the Roomba, and I wonder how often you have to clear out the cat hairs.
Well, a lot. I haven't used it a lot recently, but
I haven't shopped on Temu, and it's still the first 10 results if I search for anything. Says Beth.
Yeah,
I think Temu has a court case in the US. Says Richard. Temu is just another wish. Says Mapelo. I did a Temu order, says Janine. Not bad quality and all the right size.
Yeah, if you do your research, I think you're fine. Like, they have pictures, they have reviews and things like that. I just wanted to fill up a basket and see if it arrived. That's all I wanted to find out.
It's a very low level of expectation. Yeah. You can get away with, like, making Flax's whole life. Remember, he said it's the best experience
so
of his
fun.
Whole life, everybody. Imagine, you want to make his whole life? Send him a box of, like, stupid shit that doesn't fit.
Imagine, like, an adult lucky packet, like a big lucky packet. You have, like, 15 items.
But listen, then you would love those things where you can buy lost or packages
that, oh, I'd do that any day,
weren't delivered, or when? Luggage that was lost.
Oh,
yeah, I do that. Storage rooms. You can buy full-on storage.
Can you? In this country?
No, only in the US.
I'd love to buy the lost bags from the airport.
I'm you sure can. You can, but you could probably go in and buy them.
You could just take
They've
them,
They've got
maybe.
Stores where you can buy a suitcase.
Let's go after the show.
Yeah.
Let's just go and grab like 10 bags that look really nice. And even if they're filled with, I don't know,
dirty
old
underwear
or whatever, you just throw it out. You got a bag.
True.
I can do it.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
Let's go. I think that's a great idea. The Roomba picks up all the pills that Leanne drops around the house.
I think some Roomba of my animals might have had those.
That Roomba would have a serious mental health crisis.
Yeah, it would be a Roomba with extra Zumba.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so we were talking about ways to save money. That would be a way if you were looking for thrifted clothes.
Yes, go to the airport and just claim luggage that isn't yours.
Okay, there's this. I don't know if you've ever been in the position where your friends want to go out to some fancy restaurant every weekend and you don't have the money to, or you'd rather spend that money on something else.
Mm.
And you often feel stupid saying no. You still want to be part of it. So this hack is saying,
just say I'm poor.
Eat your dinner at home and then go out just for an appetizer or a soup or a starter or a dessert.
I mean, you wouldn't get the same enjoyment though.
You'd still,
you maybe
it's better than nothing.
Dabble in it.
Better than nothing.
All right. Yeah, I don't think, you know, there's nothing you can do about peer pressure.
Mm.
But I think that people also have got to the stage now where they just say, certainly this is my experience, they just go, I can't afford to go for dinner with all
of them. Yeah, true.
They're like, okay, no hard feelings.
Yeah.
I don't get upset. You get upset if someone said that to you?
No.
No, but I feel obliged then to say, don't worry, I'll pay for you.
No, but what happens if someone, you invited them on holiday with you and they're like, sorry, I can't afford it. Would you still pay for their holiday?
I might.
Oh, hectic.
I'm that sort of person. If I had the money, I would. I can't go on holiday after inviting someone and knowing that they're sitting at home while I'm on holiday.
Yeah, true.
That's horrible.
It wouldn't be an adult lucky packet unless you added musk sweets to your basket, says Joking Atheist.
What's musk sweet? Oh, those pink sweets.
Those pink sweets.
Oh, jeez.
Those ones.
I just tasted those.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. That is such a unique like smell and taste.
It is.
Like there's nothing else. Little pink, those little pink things. Yeah.
And yet they put it in a lot of fragrances for men and women.
They do?
Yes.
Musk, they do.
Musk is a big thing. Not the sweets, no.
No, I mean, you don't get the musk sweet smell. That would be very odd. You'd think you were walking behind like a grandma the whole time. I would stay away from Temu, says Jared. If you want to see how companies like this take over, have a look at the history of Tencent. They have major CCP influence and even have a large stake in NASPAS. That is true.
What's CCP?
Chinese Communist Party.
There's
a fair in Paris where you pay 10 euros and you get an unclaimed package. You could shake them and feel them before you buy
That's
them as well.
Sick.
Yeah.
You'd like, so you guys just like a surprise.
People are doing that now where they there's a market in France. I saw a family go on holiday, and at this market in France, you could buy these mystery packs, also kind of undelivered items, and they all did and opened them up. And these adults get so excited for this major surprise. And the funny part is that the gifts actually matched the people.
Oh, yeah.
Which was quite funny.
Imagine you went to Sandton City and there was a kiosk there where you pay 10 bucks and they give you, you pick any random box and you get to open it. Would you not do that?
I think I would.
100%.
What a great idea for a business.
Mm.
There's something cool. Set that up just before Christmas, imagine. Send people 10 bucks. You know, lucky packets.
Yeah. You can control what's inside them. It's just like gambling.
And sometimes it could be something really valuable. Make it 100 even. Make it 100 bucks. Sometimes it could be, 10 times that value. Sometimes it could be 1 rand.
And the one that's 10 times the value gets sponsored. So you're still making cash.
Yeah. Okay. You got to do this. This is a great business plan. All right. What else can we do to save money? Here we are coming up with ways to spend money, but we need ways to save money. Go on.
So one of them, I don't know if you've ever noticed on the shelf strips with the prices and the barcodes, you can actually sometimes see say it's a pack of 15 toilet rolls. It'll work out what it is for each toilet roll. Mm-hmm. Then you can compare prices a bit better.
Oh, no, but listen.
If you've got time for it.
Who has the time? There's nothing
worse. If
you're
a couponer.
There's someone in the shop who's like, and it's invariably someone who's enormous. They take up the whole eye. Oh, okay. And now they're scanning 10 prices. And now all you want to do is get the bottle of orange juice behind them or something. You know?
Yeah.
Honestly, at that point, I'll say to her, I'll buy your toilet roll. Just get out of my way. Like you would pay for someone to go for dinner.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll get you out of the way in the shop.
Okay, so another thing is trying out these, store brands.
Like the house brands.
The house brands,
So instead of buying...
If you think about it, how many producers or canners of tuna are there in South Africa?
True.
It's going to be like four.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those.
It's going to be one of those.
And you're paying for packaging at the end of the day and marketing. Like it's the exact same product sometimes.
Yeah. 100%. There's also the argument that the big stores actually push the prices down with the suppliers because they say... This is, we're not going to take the hit when inflation is going up and people don't want to pay. So you take the hit and get cheaper and cheaper, worse quality stuff. And we'll just disguise it in our house wrapping. Mm. Now you got to be careful. Like, honestly, with things like fish, you got to be super careful. They're getting like fish that have been raised on like soy and corn and shit. No, you don't want that. If you think you're eating salmon, it's only salmon. By species. Mm. What it's been eating means it would never survive.
Yeah.
I think you must be picky about this stuff. If you can. If you can't afford to be picky, then I suppose you must take whatever you can. But with certain food, fruit, veggies, meat.
No, I mean, there's
meat,
certain things I won't compromise
on. Yeah, I think then you'd rather just go without.
Yeah.
Than buy the cheap shit.
But when it comes to like toilet paper, if a no-name brand is too
ply and the
normal
one. Argument we had when I started... Cliff Central 10 years ago, and I was like, we're getting one ply toilet paper.
Ooh.
No,
the women all lost their minds. They were like, no, you're not doing that. Anything but that, we're not compromising. Yeah. One ply? That's like sandpaper.
Yeah.
I had lots of complaints, so I eventually relented.
As a woman, you've got to use double.
Do you get three plies? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get four ply or stop at three?
Probably in hotels and
start
things.
Start a four ply.
Yeah.
There's another business idea so from Flax this morning. Ideas. He's full of business ideas. It's great.
Wow.
Okay.
Gyms.
Yeah.
Are you still signed up at a gym?
Yeah.
Fancy gym with all the offerings. Do you use them all?
No. So what I did is I was on a national like package where I could go to any of those gyms,
yes.
Including the very very fancy ones where they give you your towels when you walk in.
Oh
and
wow!
All that
and
stuff.
Fruit, I heard.
I heard. And they'll polish your shoes and like press your shirt and all of that stuff. And then I thought, I don't go to those fancy ones that much. I'll downgrade it. And I wonder if I've made the right decision. I mean, I do go to, I try to go four times a week.
Mm.
So I'm a good candidate for it. And I do feel like there's value, especially if you have water or load shedding and you need to use the gym before work or after or between meetings or whatever. So I think you get your value. Why do you ask?
Yeah, because a lot of gyms now, gyms are coming up where they're just the basics, you know, the stuff that you need in order to train. So... The weights, the machines.
Here's some rocks.
Come with
just lift these heavy rocks.
There's a tire.
We'll give you a R5 gym membership, but you gotta just move these rocks from that corner of the prison yard to that corner of the prison yard.
Here's toilet paper.
One ply.
From my uncle's.
Here's one ply toilet paper.
Yeah. No, but I mean that's coming up a lot now, is these more like no bullshit simple gyms that don't have all the amenities that you're paying for.
But that's true. Like, how many pieces of equipment do you actually use at a gym? I was probably, when I was at the gym, I was using like three and maxing out on that.
Then you just weren't doing it properly somewhere.
No, it was like what I enjoyed. I enjoyed the treadmill and the bench.
Yeah, so you did what you enjoyed.
Exactly.
You shouldn't just be doing what you enjoy. Otherwise, you're going to mess up certain muscle groups. Anyway, we're not going to go down that street because it's going to be very complicated. But Leanne on the comments says, speaking of toilet paper, 3 and 4 ply is totally normal here in Australia.
What?
Australians are so full of shit. 2 ply is for the scullies, so thick that you could rinse it out and hang it on the line to dry. It's crazy. Wow.
Really would love to.
That can't be good for the drains.
No. And Zach says, we've started using toilet paper and wet wipes at my house for the past few months now.
That is a thing, eh?
The cleanliness feeling is beyond explanation. Yeah, but all of those wet wipes being flushed down the toilet.
That's not good for the toilet.
Not good for the toilet, not good for the environment. They're non-biodegradable.
B-days are the things now.
Yeah.
And you actually get, and talking about wanting to buy things.
Yeah, you knew we'd become lavatorial within,
yeah, of course,
10 seconds of the show starting. Oh, yeah,
I took screenshots just yesterday of items that I would like to buy, and I'm trying the 72-hour thing, right?
Yeah.
One of them is an attachment to your normal loo that makes it into a B-day.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
So, yeah, you just take the lid and seat off, you put it down, it's got a little spout, and then put the lid and everything back on, and you've adjusted next to you.
How rude.
How very, very rude. But that's the thing now. People are actually saying toilet paper is actually not hygienic at all.
Well, I mean, in some cultures, they've never really liked the idea of toilet paper. Mm-hmm. They like the idea of having a
wash.
An arse spray.
But yes. You'd still need toilet paper with the bidet.
A little dab for afterwards. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Not as much.
Yeah. Mm. I always wonder if there are people who are so anal, if you'll pardon the use of the word, about their cleanliness, that they'll grab a hand mirror and check their own arseholes.
Oh, I know people that will shower after using the toilet. They have to shower.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Really?
Yeah. Your Damon admitted to doing that, needing to do that.
Toilet paper is for savages and for the poor. Yes. Kings use bidets, says Morning Shot.
You see?
Wow.
It's a thing now. It always has been.
I've always said when I make it in life, I will own a bidet. One day I will own one of those, the separate to the toilet.
So here's an interesting one. MM says you get black toilet paper.
Yes,
not
you do.
Not toilet paper for blacks.
No,
but,
no.
South Africans...
Got to be careful.
South Africans will always find a race angle to things. But obviously black-coloured toilet paper.
Not coloured either.
Oh, it's not for coloureds. Sorry, quite right.
Oh, okay. I can't get this right.
So in other words, black toilet paper for whites, blacks and coloureds.
But now you've forgotten the Indians.
And MM says, and for Indians, saw it at the rich friend's house. They imported. Wow.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
I've seen that.
I don't know if I'd want dark toilet paper.
Charcoal activated.
The only reason I know is because of watching these shows where they redo houses and things.
Yeah.
And it's quite trendy now to have a black toilet and a black basin and gold hardware, sanitary ware, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway, and now they're doing black toilet paper with a little gold sticker on it.
Hmm. I wonder if that isn't the greatest note to end things on. It's black toilet paper this morning, because we're pretty much out of time anyway. I love it. All right. Thank you for being part of our first and experimental show in the new studio. There's lots that's still going to change. If you had any problems or you have any suggestions or you have any ideas, keep them to yourself. I don't really care. I don't want to hear from you. we will be working on that and a whole lot more. No, seriously, if you do want to tell us what you think, then you know how to get hold of us. Drop a comment in the comment section now. Otherwise, we are on all the social media. The Real Network this morning, live on this beautiful Monday. It's definitely starting to feel like winter, but notice we didn't pay much attention to that at all. And we don't have to, because people who talk about weather, boring people. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. Cheers.